Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cool Kids Table. I'm Brad Garoon, and apparently this is my show. But even though it's my show, I have with me Kevin Ford and Justin Houston, who are much more used to doing these podcasts here on pwponderings.com. Kevin, Justin, how you doing? Talk at the same time.
There are people
Yeah, well, you
screaming
see,
outside
I'm doing
my
pretty
house,
good.
And I don't know why they're
I'd
doing
be
it. I'm
for
assuming
Jesse
they're
Looper
excited
on
for the
Thursday. That should be fun.
But it may be like
otherwise,
a Mitt Romney thing.
It's,
Maybe
you know,
just
pretty
high
basic
on the
week.
drugs.
Nothing to talk about.
All right. I like that. That was good. So, Kevin, you are the evil genius who decided that we should bring the Cool Kids Table back to talk about Dragon Gate, which I think is a good idea because summer is over, and so I care about wrestling again. Why don't you help us by telling us what you think about this? Basically, the rundown here is we haven't talked about Dragon Gate in forever. The reason for that is in the summer of 2012, the real apocalypse happened, and it became very difficult to watch Dragon Gate at all. So we didn't in the United States. Our source for Dragon Gate watching dried up. Now we have some episodes. We're trying to catch up, and there's a pay-per-view this weekend. And it is the Gate of Destiny 2012. The first match on this card is Super Shisa and Shachihoko Boy, which is an amalgamation of the Shachihoko Machine and Shisa Boy, along with the Thug Bait Master himself, A.R. Fox, taking on Jimmy Kagetora, Kotoka, and Super Shenlong 3 in a match with almost every faction is represented. Kevin, because I mentioned your name in my rambling, what do you think of this opener?
Sort of just feels like the leftovers in this match for an opener. I guess you have, A.R. Fox being a champion and being a guy who goes over there. The thing I see, he's over there as a special guest. I think it would be cool for him to end his tour, maybe pinning Kotoko with a low main pain. Sort of like a consolation prize for his tour.
Well, he's been. Why is it a consolation prize? He's been winning every match he's been in.
It's true, and I guess he did defend the United Gate titles against Speed Muscle.
And sure. And then they had a impromptu defense, didn't they?
You would know better than I.
I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they did. I can't remember who it was against. I feel like they did.
No, they definitely did. They did against Jimmy Susumu and Mr. QQ Toyonaka Dolphin.
That's the best name ever.
Yeah, and for those of you who I don't know how many of you there actually are, who follow Dragon Gate through our podcast, oh, poor you if that's true, Mr. QQ Toyonaka Dolphin is the real Naoki Tanizaki, who came back and fought the evil Naoki Tanizaki in a match for naming rights and lost and was going to just be Jimmy Tanizaki, or maybe it was Jimmy Naoki. But the new Tanizaki decided that he would name him Mr. QQ Toyonaka Dolphin because he looks like a dolphin, he's from Toyonaka, and dolphins make the sound QQ. Which, can we talk about something real quick that's not Dragon Gate? I always thought it was dumb. I think there are comedians who have made this joke before, so this is obviously covered ground. But I think it's dumb that when you're learning a foreign language in school and you learn like what sound different animals make, it's not the same sound you learn that they make when you're learning in English. Like, a dog does not go woof woof, it goes like, arump, arump, or something like that. But but that's absurd. And so, like, a dolphin goes QQ. I mean, you don't even learn a dolphin in English-speaking schools.
You say you don't even learn a dolphin?
You don't learn a dolphin. You don't learn a dolphin. That's my... You listen to WTF, right, Kevin?
I do.
WTF with Mark Maron.
Yes.
When he started his show, people would send him anti-Semitic emails, and he started a segment called something like "No more this Jew shit" or "No more talk
that.
This Jew crap." Right. So you don't even learn dolphin is going to be my version of "No more this Jew shit."
I like it. Okay, so forget my consolation prize comment. This will just be another win in A.R. Fox's successful tour of Japan.
There you go.
Well,
Justin,
sort of more
think?
Than that. It also it's a match that means nothing really in the long term. So A.R. Fox can, on pay-per-view, run the whole gambit. Every move he has, he can just run through them because there's really no one else you need to elevate in this match. So if this isn't the A.R. Fox show, what the hell are you doing?
I mean, Super Shisa also always needs something to do. It could be the Super Shisa show.
I suppose. He had, like, there was, like, a big deal for, like, 8 seconds, like, 3 months ago, where you thought Super Caesar was potentially walking away with a couple belts, maybe putting his, like, career on the line for the Dreamgate. None of this ever occurred.
I don't see that ever really happening. Oh, well, I could see that Dreamgate thing happening. That's really all he has left to do is sort of challenge for the Dreamgate, which, to my memory, he's never done. And I don't think I'm wrong.
I don't think he has either, but I know King Shiza was going to, but that ended up being Pentagon Black, like that whole thing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Right, but yeah, Shiza, I don't think he has, but it was just like he goes through these moments where he's like a big deal, and then he goes right back to
what he he's the does. Trainer. There's nothing really. It'd be like William Regal, or. I was going to say it would be like Triple H doing a lot in WWE at this point, which I know is silly to say in the first place. But, yeah, it's just there's no point. He's not going to – at this point, I think Dragon Gate knows that they need to move things on from the Mochizuki Shima generation and, like, really put their faith in someone because they've given the belt to and let run Naruki Doi. They gave him the belt and let him run with it. They gave Yoshino the belt and let him run with it. Yamato, sort of. He was a transitional champion. They tried it with Shingo, and it hasn't worked yet. So they know that they got to find someone to move the belt onto and really let them have a go at it as a babyface, which is why Tozawa didn't win and why Tanizaki, are no longer in quotations. Naoki Tanizaki didn't even get a title match recently. His match was non-title against Shima. But those two guys, I think, are going to be the ones that they really focus on in the coming year after the next babyface beats Shima for the title, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Sure.
The next match on the card is it's the second match that's going to happen on the show, which is why it's match number two. And it's the Open the ORI Gate Championship match. Kenichiro Arai, the current reigning champion, against the almost always champion Hollywood Stalker Ichikawa, and for those who don't know, the Owari Gate is the comedy title.
Now, how did the belt get from Swan to him? Because I think Swan vacated it at some point.
Yeah, and Arai won it in a decision match against I don't remember who.
Okay.
So does Stalker go out, win his belt back, or does Arai retain? Or is this the decision match? I think Arai is actually the champion right now.
I do too. I kind of hope Arai holds on to it. Gives him. I mean, it's always on Ichikawa, but I think Arai having it gives the belt something different. Plus, he seems to be pretty over, so it seems like by fan decision, he would maybe win this match too. No,
it is kind of a weird time to do it though, because he kind of went back to super serious mode, or not super serious, but that more go mode rather than his previous many years character, which was sort of drunk and sloshed and brushing his teeth on his way to the ring, which was more lent itself more to comedy than he does now. But I kind of agree. I'd like to see him keep it.
Yeah, I think he's going to keep it too. I don't see the point of giving it back to Ichikawa. I mean, I really, let's be real. There's no point in this belt at all. It's not featured on television ever. I'm surprised it's getting a pay-per-view spot, but as long as we're talking about it, I agree with y'all. The following match is a Jimmy's versus Mad Blanky B-Team match. Ryo Jimmy Saito, Geki Horiguchi H-A-G-Me, and Mr. QQ Toyonaka Dolphin versus KZ, Mondai Ryu, and Cyber Kong. I'm still depressed over the state of Cyber Kong. It bums me out that he's associated with like the crap of the company.
I mean, he went from Dreamgate Challenger to non-entity in Dragon Gate real fast.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems to have happened because of his performance in that Dreamgate match. Which is just a bummer of the century, which we still haven't seen and we likely never will see.
Is there any chance the Mad Blanky team wins here?
No, I don't see what the point of that would be. I mean, I feel like at this point, Toyonaka, Dolphin needs a win back over Mad Blanky, and this is where it happens.
Yeah, they're both sort of like, both squads are sort of the, like, to me, kind of the least interesting elements of their team. You have these sort of, like, not fully committed Jimmy's team, which is all the guys that aren't just, like, Jimmy and their name. You have all those guys facing I've called them Team KKK, KZ, Kamada, and Kong. So I don't know. That's not offensive. I might skip. What are you going to do?
Now, the Japanese are into that pseudo-Nazi stuff, even though the clan would not like
it. Because it has no relation Nazis. To that whatsoever.
Well, not no relation. They're both racist.
Sure. Historically, not so related.
Right. I mean, there's no actual association between the two groups. But, I actually, it's funny you say that, Justin. I find these three to be the more interesting Jimmy's trio. I don't care as much. I'm really bored with Kagetora. Jimmy Susumu for me is either really interesting or kind of a drag a lot of the time. And I actually like where Kanda is now, but I love Maraha Isapa, and I've always been a big Tanizaki fan, especially as a babyface. So I'm really happy that he's back, and I think he's going to get the pin here over Kamada, over Mondai Ryu.
I hope so.
Indeed.
So the next match is the first actual match of any real note, and I think it actually is quite interesting. It's Dragon Kid defending his Open the Brave Gate Championship against Eita, no longer Kobayashi, making a quick return from Mexico before he goes back to Mexico, and he says he's going back with the Open the Brave Gate title. Before I get into my spiel about this, what do you guys think?
I had actually, when we did our last podcast, I had said I would have really liked to see when Eita gets back from Mexico get this shot, because I think we were talking about who does Dragon Kid defend against if he was successful against Ricochet at Kobe, and he was. And So I'm happy to see that Eita's getting this shot. Don't know why his last name was dropped, but I digress. I'd be cool if he won. I mean, you know, Dragon Kid's had his reign for about 5 months or so now. He's had spent some time with it. I mean, realistically, I think he'll probably win here, but I think it'd be much more interesting for Eita to win the belt, take it to Mexico, and get some elevation through that.
I actually agree with you. But Justin, you say your things first.
Well, that's sort of, I feel like Eita is a touring champion. Beginning of this year, I went all in, and I thought the way it sort of worked out in my head was that at some point, Dragon Kid would touch the Dream Gate. Even in a transitional sense, I thought he would hold it for a little while, being the Year of the Dragon and all that. I guess this is a way to do it. I don't see, Shima's really running out of challengers. He's so running out of challengers, the people challenging him aren't that interesting. So, I would say that's the more interesting route to go, but I don't know. Something tells me Dragon Kid will retain and he'll lose it to like Shingo at some point.
So that everything you just said sounds like bizarro world to me, except I do think the odds are good that Dragon Kid will retain, but there is an outside chance that Eita could win. I think Eita winning is the better way to go, especially because you just sent him to Mexico. He's got some juice behind him. He came back as this new kind of arrogant champion character. He's the champion of this, you know, obscure Mexican indie, and he's treating that belt like it's a big deal. He acts very Hollywood. I think part of the whole like Eita thing is a little bit like he's The Rock now. They haven't come out and said that as far as I know, but that's sort of what I'm taking from it. And I think you kill a lot of his momentum if he comes to Japan just to lose in a marquee match against Dragon Kid, whose career, for all intents and purposes, does not need titles. He's perpetually over. He's the Rey Mysterio of Japan, and I don't think he needs any. I don't think he needs the Brave Gate title. I don't think he'll ever be Dream Gate champion. I think he's perfectly fine in that upper mid card slot without titles, and I think giving it to Eita would be great here. I hope they do. I don't think Shingo will ever be Brave Gate champion either, and I think if he does win it, that's a kind of a disaster.
I agree. I totally agree. That's why that was sort of my more droll. It's the thing I don't want to happen, but I really don't see anything else. Maybe that's how they rebuild Kong. I don't know.
No, they're not going to rebuild Kong.
Ever?
I don't think so.
That's
sadly
disappointing.
Yes. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, when he was gone, I thought he was gone forever, but No, I don't see Kong coming back to the.
Really all people need to know. Gabe went out of his way last year and said that he requested Cyber Kong from the Dragon Gate office to come to the United States, and he's still not in the United States. That's all you really need to know.
But what we do know is that ACH is coming to Dragon Gate USA.
Finally.
Finally.
I think I know people who campaigned for him a very long time ago on Twitter to get that done.
That sounds familiar. I think that whoever did that deserves $1 million and a blowjob from a pretty lady.
I agree with both those sentiments.
Yeah.
Really, I'll just take one or the other, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. I would take one or the other. So, Kevin, you can have one and I'll take the other.
Sounds good, I guess.
The next match on this show is the Open the Triangle Gate Championship, and that's Akira Tozawa, BB Hulk, and the dominant, Naoki Tanizaki, taking on the veteran, I don't know what to call them. They're like a weird veteran outsiders team, almost, of Gamma, Magnitude Kishiwada, and Hub, who we don't know anything about. We haven't seen him yet. I don't know, Justin, have you watched any of the newer stuff that has Hub?
Nothing new. I saw him a while ago. I would see him in clips, and I like what I saw. I don't know whether, you know, like, Super Dragon looks great in clips, but then you see whole matches, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, most of the time. I like some Super Dragon matches, though.
So, I mean...
As long as they include Steen, Kevin.
Right, and pretty much. Litter the ring with junk, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Someone willing to die at the hands of that man.
Right. I mean, he's just a fat guy in pajamas.
Aren't we all...
You might be.
what's Hub's deal? Like, does he have like a gimmick or something, or is he kind of like just a guy?
I don't know if they're still doing it, but he had like a scorpion kind of gimmick or like a. But it didn't. I never really saw anything that played into it. He just he had some really nice moves, like you know Teddy Hart's move that he did where he would he'd flip out a Fisherman Buster into a power bomb, like he would do something like that. He had some really, and he hit him really fluidly, not like Hart or like he killed them. So that's really my only familiarity is that he had like an interesting move set and he looked the part. And so I wasn't like excited to see him. I think there's a ton of guys that could fill that spot. Not veterans off the top of my head. And he's got a silly name now, yeah, I'm kind of interested in, like, of all the stuff that's come out, of new stuff coming out, that'll be something that I'll, like, go out of my way to really pay attention to, just to see if he's any good.
Yeah, I don't even know what he looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the last time I saw him, he had this, I can't even say the color of his mask. It was one of those where it was like an amalgamation of colors. He really fits well with like Kishiwada and Gamma because you can never really tell. Like Gamma will wear tights that's just every fucking color you've ever seen. And Kishiwada has those costumes where it's just like it looks like a swirling orb like everywhere, just a ton of dark colors. It was kind of like that, but he has this little like stinger thing on I think it was on the back of his head. Hmm. And so he looks... I don't know where he originates from. It may be Osaka. This may be an Osaka contingent here with Gamma, Hub, and Kishiwada. Because I know Gamma and Kishiwada they used to be in Osaka Pro. So maybe that's the connection.
Yeah, that could be. He has a scorpion in the back of his head? He's not the guy who... I just watched Genki Horiguchi. I haven't posted this to the blog yet. But I just watched Genki Horiguchi in the 01 Juniors tournament. I wonder if he's the guy under a different name who Genki fought there. I'm going to look that up. But either way, I think that Mad Blanky is retaining here.
Yeah, I think what you said at the beginning where you said, like, I don't even know what to call this team. It's sort of a random mishmash. I mean, that says everything about who's going to win.
That's him. That is him. Habu.
Kaijin Habu. Oh, yeah. Oh, so I actually have seen him. He's pretty good. Kaijin Habu Otoko, I've seen it. He's solid.
I thought so too. Again, I didn't want to say anything because it had been a while. Yeah, I was kind of pleasantly surprised when they announced it.
Oh, Kevin, I lied. I know exactly who Hub is.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay. All right, right on. We all think that the bad guys are winning here, yeah?
Yeah.
Not only that, I kind of want to skew this off into a talk about Tanizaki. When the fuck? When are they going to change his name back? It's driving me crazy.
I think he's going to keep it for a while.
That's my problem, is I have this really horrible feeling that someone thinks this is hilarious, and this totally won't screw them in the future.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's not so much that – the problem isn't so much that Tomahawk is Tanizaki right now. The problem is more that Tanizaki is Dolphin right now. I think eventually, maybe at Final Gate or at the first pay-per-view of 2013, we're going to see a rematch for the name, and Dolphin will go back to being Naoki Tanizaki, and Naoki Tanizaki will go back to being Takuya Tomokomai.
Do you think he'll... I think he's going to get a whole new name. So this guy that put in all this work to like get over, and who obviously a lot of people respect, I mean, for God's sake, you'd see matches where nobody sells for Kong, nobody sells for Mondai, and then they start selling for Tanizaki. And to put him in not only that, but put him in a complex situation where people don't always know who he is, it's really weird.
Yeah, but he's really over. I don't think it's been a problem so far.
I don't think it is so far. That's what scares me, is that I think they're like it's going to get to that point where he's going to be known as Naoki Tanizaki.
It'll stop being... Maybe, but I don't think that's a problem, because he's obviously the fake Naoki Tanizaki, and the real one was Naoki Tanizaki for years.
Right. I guess that's my what bothers me is this has been going on a really long time, and I don't want I would hate to see him sort of his rise to fame be under someone's name, someone's actual name, not like a gimmick that he worked and he moved on to a new gimmick. Someone else's name.
Yeah, you don't want fake Tanizaki usurping the real Naoki Tanizaki's legacy.
I hear what you're saying. I don't think, well, for one thing, I just don't think that Japanese wrestling is the same as American wrestling in that regard.
Okay.
And also Dragon Gate's kind of, you know, it's a little silly.
Right.
Like, I could see, could you really not see something like this happening in Chikara?
I totally could.
It pretty much has.
Yeah, right. It has on several occasions, but that happened to wrestlers who needed a change rather than up-and-coming wrestlers who were, like, saddled with someone else's name. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, if a good young wrestler is coming up, and they decided to name him, like, Saw Jig or something strange, or just started calling him Jigsaw. It's kind of like that, where at some point, and they did it for, like, over a year.
No, listen, I hear you, and I get it, and I get what you're saying. It's like he's making his name. But, like, I think it's so much better that he be Tanizaki and make his name as Tanizaki and get over versus be Tomahawk TT, make his name as Tomahawk TT, and end up a jobber because he can't make the gimmick work.
And now, see, that's a good point, because if they do have that turn, that's actually kind of a cool thing to like, when he does bust out with whatever his new name is, it's kind of like he's at the top of the cards and he's there to stay. Like, not only is he busting the gimmick, but he's busting the ceiling. It's like,
I mean,
that's interesting.
I think after he loses the name back to Tanizaki, I think they push him to the top of the card. And I think it'll happen. I don't know if it'll happen in the next calendar year. But it'll happen. He's not going to be Tanizaki forever.
Right. Good.
But I think for now it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He makes it work. I mean, it really works.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the funny thing is he didn't at first, but in terms of the moves, but he hits every move fluidly. The cool thing is what's really great about him, and it's what sort of elevated him even further in my eyes, is that he doesn't run through Tanizaki's moveset. He's actually incorporated Tanizaki's moves into his own. So
totally.
He'll do
his
knee lift and then go to the chop. I like it a lot.
Right, and his finishers are the Razor's Edge and the Night Ride. I mean, he's got
exactly.
He's doing his own thing. He just does Tanizaki stuff to be a jerk.
Right.
I don't know. I think it works real well.
Yeah. Anytime I feel like I read results on iHeartDG, it seems like they're grooming him to be the guy. Not like the Dreamgate champion, but man, like he just can't stop winning matches, it seems.
No, he's going to be the guy. I think maybe he loses his name. There's a couple ways they could go with it, and this is all fantasy booking right now, but he could either lose the name to Tanizaki and then feud with Tozawa, but either way, those two things are happening. Right? Like he's going to feud with Tanizaki or finish the feud with Tanizaki, that'll come back so he can lose the name, or so Tanizaki can get his name back. And then he has to feud with Tozawa because he's gonna be the new top heel in the company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'll be awesome.
He's a better I think he's a better heel than Tozawa because people want to cheer Tozawa right now.
I don't. It's tough to call because again, a lot of the it's so fun or it's so easy to cheer a guy who's still so fresh, like Tanizaki is, you know, because parts of the moveset are still and they're still learning how to do stuff, so they're constantly coming up with new stuff. So I don't want to say like the pops come easier, but I don't know. I feel like Tozawa is that's a hard sell for me. Tozawa not being a heel.
But they're already sort of starting to push it. Like if what did I just watch? Tozawa's match against Shima for the Dreamgate. Tozawa beat up Mondai Ryu for interfering.
Oh.
I mean, they're already. I mean, they're not pushing it hard. He's a Triangle Gate champion, and he's still a heel. But the seeds right. have been planted for him to turn babyface.
Right, and that just may be that they like where they kind of like where the everyone is on the roster right now, so they're not ready to make those big moves. But which it's is, coming. Which
is, yeah, yeah, and that's fine. I mean, they don't need to make big moves or bowel moves for that matter.
No.
Yeah, that was unnecessary for me to say.
It was like, what?
The next match is for the Dragon Gate USA Presents International Tag Match, Yamato and Shingo Takagi versus Naruki Doi and everyone's favorite, Johnny Gargano. So Justin, you said earlier that you think that you could see Shingo being like shuffled into the mid-card and winning the Brave Gate title. The consensus that I'm getting is that Shingo is going to be the next Dreamgate champion. And so because of that, and because I think he's going to win the belt at Final Gate, I think he goes over Gargano here. Or he could go over Doi, either way.
I was thinking Doi since he's a former Dreamgate champion.
Right, yeah, that could be too.
But yeah, that, I mean, that was my exact same sentiment.
Really surprising.
Tell me why it's surprising.
His standing in the company is, has not been anything impressive. He's, I don't know, it would kind of come out of left field for me. If he won, I mean, it'd be great because, I mean, I love Shingo, but, still surprising. I guess he does have plenty of time to build momentum. He's got that singles match, with Tozawa coming up. So,
I can't believe they're doing that again. It's like enough.
All those matches, I was really kind of like, do you not have any better ideas?
Yeah, I'm just over it. Like, I just don't think we need more Yamato versus Hulk and Shingo versus Tozawa. Am I right? Am I right?
I sort of feel like that's when I said the Dragon Kid thing. I feel like if you were to put it on Dragon Kid and then take it off within one or two defenses to Shingo, that gives you more time to build him up again. I don't feel like there's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know when they're going to do it. I don't know how many more.
Think that's a really good idea. I think that it might, what you just said is a really cool idea and might be really cool for Dragon Kid to actually be the guy to beat Shima. And it's surprising and shocking and cool. And then we know that Shingo and Dragon Kid have awesome matches against each other.
Right. That's the reason I chose him to win the Brave Gate, because the match, I kind of wanted that match again because I know they could put on an awesome match, and that elevates Shingo further. And
like you said,
Dragon Kid really doesn't need it, but
sorry, go ahead.
No, the story with me for Dragon Kid is if he wins, it becomes a feeding frenzy because no one takes him seriously as champion. So all these guys that were like, Shima's this world beater, they suddenly start, really putting together tons of wins, and it's a way to build a lot of people up as a way of, and also keeping that thing of, with Dragon Kid, where, build up everyone, build up Yamato, build up Shingo and Yamato together, and, have Yamato face him, and have Dragon Kid kind of pull out one again, and then he has to face Shingo, and then that's when Shingo, capitalizes and beats him. It just becomes, it just gives you more time to do stuff.
Whereas yeah, the only Shima, thing is, there's really only time for one title defense, one successful mm-hmm. title defense between Gate of Destiny and Final Gate.
Right. And I don't know who that would even, who in the world.
So if Shima retains, well, we know Shima's going to retain against Yoshino. Right. Oh, but you know what? You're saying, I see what you mean. You're saying Kid would win at Final Battle. I mean, at Final Gate.
Right. Ending the Year of the Dragon and then going in. And now, like, even when, like, Dragon Kid, after he wins, he's, like, celebrating. And just, like, everyone comes out of the woodworks saying, no one takes you seriously. You know, is this was, this is, you know, it's great for you. It's congratulations. Or maybe not at Final Battle. That would kind of, you know, crap on everything. But, like, later on.
You mean Final Gate?
Final Gate, yeah. Jeez. And, you know, a lot of people coming out saying, look, we're, you know, everyone's gunning for him at once. And it's, you know, you have you get to have a lot of top singles matches. And even do, I don't know, do like a little quick mini tournament of some kind. I don't know. Something to elevate them quicker. And, you know, then just sort of Shingo rattles off some wins. And suddenly he beats Shima for some reason. Which sounds like what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think more realistically, they'll just build Shingo up through November, December, have Shingo beat Shima the way he was supposed to back in 2008, and then you've got something fresh, because Shingo hasn't really... His title reign was short when he won the title. He beat Hulk and then defended against Cyber Kong and then defended against Susumu Yokozuka and then lost to Doi. So that was it.
Yeah.
That was his whole reign. So you know, there's lots of fresh stuff that he can do. And there's an especially interesting potential feud with Masaki Mochizuki, with whom he's gone to a lot of draws.
Yeah.
And those guys are awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. It'd be an amazing match. So I don't know, but who, I mean, after, so it's, well, I guess we'll probably get to that. We're actually talking about the tag match now, but
yeah.
So you're saying, yeah, Shingo goes over. I don't know. I want to say that Gargano gets a win, but he's won every match so far that he's been in. So yeah, Yamato, and I don't know who gets the fall, but yeah, someone gets the win. I'll even say over Gargano.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't see, for whatever reason, I don't see Fox and Gargano winning on the show. I don't see Gargano necessarily taking the fall, but I don't see them both winning.
I mean, I definitely see Shingo going over. I think for sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, and then speaking of Mochizuki, he and Don Fuji just beat Yamato and Takagi in what was supposedly an unbelievable match that I'm very much looking forward to seeing. And now they're facing Jimmy Susumu and Jimmy Kanda for the Open the Twin Gate Championship. What happens here, folks? Oh, and the story going into this is that Kanda has lost his mind and hates all the veterans and has just been attacking people like crazy.
Okay, because I was going to ask, why is it him and Susumu, not Susumu and Kagetora?
Well, Susumu and Kagetora have had their run, and they lost the belts, and so it didn't really make sense for them to get another title shot when they just lost the titles.
Plus, this is this would be all three members of the original M2K in one match, wouldn't it be?
Oh, I just got a boner from you saying that, yes.
Look at me bringing something to the table for once.
There's a lot more history, yeah, plus... I would say, with the Susumu Kanda team as well. I mean, not a lot more, but longer history as kind of an early tag team as young guys coming up, whereas Mochi and Fuji were still. I mean, I feel like they've always been veterans. Is that crazy? I can't remember a time where Mochizuki and Fuji weren't veterans.
Wait, say that again.
I was saying I can't remember a time where Mochizuki and Fuji weren't veterans. Like, I can somehow remember
Mochizuki and Jimmy's. Mochizuki was kind of always a veteran because he came in and he had already had a lot of experience. But Fuji was part of Crazy Max in the beginning, and those guys were like the young punks running around. And the whole original Crazy Max versus M2K feud was that Mochizuki, the seasoned guy as far as Dragon Gate was concerned, turned on the baby faces, joined up with these two even younger, bigger douchebags, Naruki, right. Jimmy Susumu and Jimmy Kanda, and feuded with, and it was like the evil guys versus evil guys feud, but everyone loved Crazy Max because they were like the home team.
Right. Interesting. So again, even then, there's a lot of very, I mean, I don't know, like you know, you said that about Japanese wrestling being different. I wonder how much history their audience is not only not just aware of, but how much they can play up in personal history.
Well, in Japan, people aren't fans of wrestling as much as they're fans of promotions. So I think that Dragon Gate fans, by and large, do know about this, especially since it's brought up every once in, like, the M2K legacy is brought up every once in a while in Dragon Gate. They don't let it die. Like, they have reunions and stuff. Like, there was an M2K reunion during the Junction 3.
I remember that.
Yeah, they brought back Darkness Dragon. Yeah. Man, Kness is just done, I think.
He wrestles, I only see him on, like, Diamond Ring stuff.
Yeah, he does a lot of the outside stuff. But he doesn't have to perform as strenuously.
Yeah.
And that brings... I don't know. I think the champions are going to retain here.
Oh, yeah, same. I guess I should have said that before.
I mostly think that because they lost the title in their first defense the last time they were champions, and it's time for them to not have to do that. And then I'm really quick going to drop the main event on you guys and take a quick hiatus to take a duty while you talk about Shima defending his title against Masato Yoshino. Go!
So I don't know about you, Justin, but I'm really, like, just don't care about this match at all.
It's hard to get into a match where you just know who's going to win. There's no heat behind Yoshino at all.
No.
They didn't do the thing where they build a guy up and, you know, have him go through a series of trials, which they always do. It's just sort of... He challenged him because who the hell else is he going to face?
Yeah. And they just did this match in Yoshino's reign too, didn't they? They did him and Shima. Yeah. So yeah, they did it in Dragon Gate USA at Freedom Fight last year. So yeah. I know Brad, you know, and I think they have good matches together too, but I don't know. I would almost say that I would literally would want anybody else on the roster to take the belt from Shima but Masato Yoshino. And obviously he's not going to win here, but I just don't care. Like, I really just have no interest in this match whatsoever. I hope it's good. I hope it's something I can sink my teeth into and it gets rave reviews so I can at least get a little bit excited for it, because as of right now, I just don't even want to see it. Just don't care.
Right. There's still really good wrestlers. There's still ways to have matches. I don't want to see long teases of Sol Naciente, because I don't buy it. I'm just not going to buy it.
Right.
I won't. You know, when he hooks that leg and he falls over in the crowd, I'm still not going to buy it. I'm not.
Right.
I want to see Yoshino come out and start, you know, maybe try to get some flash pins. You know, be a little more ruthless. Go after the neck, you know. Throw moves a couple of times. Don't just run through the arsenal. You know, come back and you know, keep at it. And
maybe go after the legs, too, to sort of neutralize Meteora or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and a lot of guys... you know, I see a lot of guys do that, and I want to see, he'll probably target the arm like he always does. In wrestling in general, I would like to see more, like, widespread creativity in what you're working over and why. And I kind of know what to expect out of these guys. Unless they have something really tremendous up their sleeves, I know what I'm going to get. And I kind of, like you said, I really am not that interested in watching. So when you go from there, I don't know who you, because I mean, we both have Shima winning, correct?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah. So from there, I mean, who challenges? Let alone who takes the belt? Because you know, if Brad says Shingo is the guy, more than likely he's the guy. That's why I picked Dragon Kid, is because I don't know who else there is. I don't have anyone. There's an easy out because Eita can, he's already kind of proven to be like cocky and kind of a jerk. He can cheat to beat Dragon Kid, and Dragon Kid loses no momentum. But I don't know who else. Who challenges Shima after Yoshino?
Shingo Takagi.
Between Shingo winning and Yoshino challenging, who else?
Because they'll certainly have a November defense. They usually have like one a month, it seems.
I think BB Hulk might challenge in the off month. Just because he hasn't challenged Shima yet, and I don't know, he's always just sort of there. But yeah, you guys have been saying that Yoshino's not going to win, right?
Yeah, of course. And I was saying how I really have no interest in this match at all.
No, neither do I. It's happened so many times, and what's odd is I used to love this matchup because the first two times it happened, it was so good. In fact, it's always good. I just don't care anymore. It's like Sting versus Vader. Eventually, you're like, ugh, whatever.
It's even like Danielson versus McGinnis. After like a while, people were like,
oh, yeah, totally.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's not the case. Shima and Yoshino, I know what to expect from those guys. They don't go out of their way to surprise you.
I don't agree with that. I think their first couple matches, they really did. Oh, no. I'm getting in trouble at work right now.
Sorry, I just I feel like in a lot of their contemporary matches, I mean, I know what's going to happen. I know what to expect, and I'm never really surprised by their contests.
I mean, I get it. I think apart from each other, like Shima's always doing Shima stuff and Yoshino's always doing Yoshina stuff.
Right? No, I mean, like when they face each other, I feel like they don't, I never see, when I see their matches, I see a lot of the same stuff I saw in the previous match they had with one another.
And I mean, I think that's good. I like that about it. Oh, well, except their match in America, which I thought was kind of not great.
I just think it kind of gives me deja vu. Like, why am I watching this if I could just go watch the last one?
Yeah, I mean, the first one was the best one, or maybe the second. But, I don't know, hopefully this will be good. But just Yoshino is just a non-entity right now.
Right.
And I don't think he'll ever be... I think he's one of the most wealthy guys in the company. And I just don't think he cares that much.
You got real with us right there, talking dollars.
Yeah. What?
Talking dollars.
I mean, it's a guess. I didn't say a number. I wouldn't even know begin to say.
Hashtag millions of dollars. Hashtag money making scholars.
Hashtag billions of yen. Hashtag money making yen.
What?
Skins. I don't know. I'm trying to fit in. I don't understand your jokes, your hashtags, your social media ponderings.
Now here's a thought that just sort of popped in there. Yoshino loses, and Shima celebrates. He gives that customary speech at the end, and Yoshino cuts him off and says, "That's all well and good, but Ricochet's coming back, and he wants a shot at the belt." That's the guy I could see doing another kind of middle ground defense.
That would be cool, and also it doesn't matter if Ricochet loses. I could get behind that.
Spike Mohegan's explode. You know,
although I think it'd be better, it would have to be Doi saying it because Yoshino wouldn't, like, here's, in my perfect world, Doi would say it because Yoshino would have been concentrating on himself and wouldn't even want to have Ricochet in the back of his head, but Doi could be like, well, I just got off the phone with Ricochet, the World 1's not done yet, we're coming for you with Ricochet.
Oh, that's good, especially if we have World 1 pretty much losing throughout, so that would be kind of
because World One is pretty freaking lame.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's going on in Dragon Gate, and I think we covered a lot considering we haven't in a short amount of time because the Cool Kids stable is streamlined, where Viva Chikara is bloated.
Truth.
It's true.
We also talk about two shows on that. This is just one.
Do you? You talk about like a double shot?
Yeah, exactly.
I edit that show, but I really don't listen to it that much.
Thanks, guy.
I like to pop in every once in a while and hear you guys talking, but I just don't know that much about what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a lot to digest. If you're not,
can we talk about our personal lives for a little bit?
Do we have to?
No. I'm asking permission, not making a demand.
I mean, if you want to talk about your personal life, go for it. If you want to air some grievances,
I already know about my own personal life. I'm curious about what's going on with you guys. I mean, Kevin, I know what's going on with you. We talk every day.
I'm
Justin,
converting
what's up
the
with you?
4-year-old into a wrestling
game. Oh, crap. My phone case just broke. What are you converting to?
Judaism.
Oh, welcome. but in real life, what's happening? You're converting a 4-year-old to be a wrestling fan?
No, yeah. I've been watching like King of Trios, and I watch Chikara and Dragon Gate, really. So right now, Danica, my friend's 4-year-old, her favorite thing is identifying who the bad guy is and who the good guy is. And so it's
what wrestling's
funny
all about.
Right. And she'll see matches and she'll go, that, and she'll turn and go, everyone's a bad guy. And like, I'm watching Raw and I'm like, yeah, kind of. So I can't really
only in that they're bad at wrestling.
Right, yeah, and that's really the only time. It was a glorious moment the other day, because I had had wrestling on, and I paused it, and we were eating dinner, and we finished, and I said, I'll put on something else because no one wants to watch wrestling. And she chimes in and goes, I like wrestling. And it was like, nice. I just heard like church bells. So
and I'm sure, I'm sure what the kid says goes in that house.
Yes. I was like, you know what? Absolutely. For you, anything. And so I turned back on King of Trios, and she likes all the ants and any goblins. And she's just into superheroes in general. So wrestling is a natural like thing. Like she went to get her face painted this weekend. She wanted to be Spider-Man. That's just, she met Spider-Man. We were in Cape Canaveral for a week, and we went to Universal Studios, which is like an hour away. She met Spider-Man, and it was like, that's what she said her favorite moment was to like everyone. She said, what was your favorite moment? Meeting Spider-Man. So it's kind of a natural segue, and she'll sit down and just watch whole wrestling shows with me.
Well, that is neat. Can I talk about something that's a little bit less neat?
Yes.
I'm on ProResuSpirit.com. You guys know the guy who runs this site, right?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
He only has, on his background, he has a million Japanese wrestlers from All Japan and New Japan, and only one from 01, which I don't care about, and only one from Dragon Gate.
He's definitely more of an All Japan, New Japan guy. I mean, maybe he thinks that really, when it comes to American sites, that Dragon Gate and 01 are sort of accounted for. I mean, this is just pure speculation. I don't even know if he watches those companies.
Well, 01 USA hasn't been updated in forever.
Well, clearly I don't go to that website, so I was just talking out of my ass. Thanks, Brad. But yeah, maybe that's just, you know, he's into All Japan and New Japan. That's sort of it. Or maybe he thinks that Dragon Gate sort of
taken
care of.
I've talked to him a few times, and he's not really. I mean, it's what I see. Shima is on there. And,
right. Well, my understanding is that he grew up loving the Great Muta, Jushin Thunder Liger, etc. after seeing them on American TV in the early 90s. And since then, he's been watching whole events from Japan from roughly 1997 to 1998. And his first experiences with Japanese pro wrestling are mixed between All Japan and Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling. Since then, blah, blah, blah. Isn't this the guy who updates on Facebook with like lots of spelling errors and grammatical mistakes?
Well, that's why he has you. You're his biographer now, right?
Well, I'm just reading his biography that he wrote about himself. You can find him. We can find him on Skype at Killer Fu, FUU. Maybe we should do that. That would make this a cool podcast if we like actually had the balls to do stuff like that.
Jump him and demand why there's no,
Dragon Gate coverage.
Dragon Gate wrestlers in his background. No, just the background. We don't like the coverage. It's clearly the background is the issue here.
Yeah, the cover has no wrestlers in it at all.
Yeah. So, outrageous.
What's your favorite wrestling site?
My favorite wrestling site?
Yeah, your favorite. Which one's your favorite?
Listen,
is it Pro Wrestling Ponderings?
Whenever I go to iHeartDG and I just see a big wall of white text from a big Dragon Gate show, I get hard.
Me too.
I mean, like, every time.
I don't know if I get hard, but I do enjoy it.
So, like, especially when it's on my phone, because it takes up the whole phone, so it seems like it's just humongous. And I go, yeah, and I got to make it bigger and resize everything.
What kind of phone do you have?
I have, I don't know, it's like the Optimus V. I have Virgin Mobile.
It's a droid? Is it a droid?
Yeah.
Because if you had an iPhone, you could just do Reader, and then all that text turns into like regular, easy-to-read text.
No, I only even got this because I had like a pay-as-you-go phone. Like one.
Are you a drug dealer?
I felt like it at times. I mean, I that's the one I used for the longest time because I just didn't care. Mainly because, like, I'm clumsy, so I would drop that thing all the time, and I got to not care about my phone being destroyed. Oh, and no one called me. I love that phrase where just no one would call me. That was the best.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get calls all the time, and it's just infuriating.
Well, aren't you popular?
Like, no, I'm not even all, like, not even all the time. Just, like, I don't know what it is about phone calls, but, like, I get two a day, and I'm like, the second one, I'm like, ah, what now? Yeah, grandma's dead. Great. I'll talk to you later. Jeez.
Hey, I hate talking on the phone. It's like the worst.
Me too. I don't even have a voicemail set up because the only people leaving me voicemail is my parents. And I was like, oh, it's so annoying to listen to them talk. What do they do to deserve my attention aside from give me life? Fuck. Just, so I don't have one now. And also it's good because my creditors can't find me.
Okay, I always find the most annoying thing about those messages is that my folks always insist on telling me the exact like time, date, day, and place that they are.
Yeah, what's up with that?
You spend half the message, they're going, it's 3:14 on a Wednesday, and I'm like, technology has kicked in. I know when you called me. I know when I ignored your call. Right. I was there, but I said, no, thank you.
Ridiculous. Oh, this is interesting. Well, maybe not to you guys, but to me. I was in Detroit over the weekend. My sister just got married. Hooray. And I'm on OkCupid, and I don't know if you guys know much about OK. Wait, Kevin, are you on OkCupid?
No.
What do you use?
I mean, I have been, but I'm not like currently like an active user. I was a while ago. Oh,
so I was on, and now OkCupid has a thing where when you're,
Brad.
Never mind. That was not as fun as I thought it would be. So I was in Detroit, and what OkCupid does is it tell even if you're like my preferences are all set in New York, but because I was in Detroit, they were like, this person's close to you. You should contact them. So one was this girl who's 6 feet tall, and like kind of like I don't know, she looks like she's 6 feet tall. She's like a big girl, and kind of a little bit beastly. But I was like, I don't know. I'm in Detroit for the weekend. I might want to get weird like that for a night. She didn't respond to my weird email, but she did just now when I'm back in New York. So, beastly 6 foot tall girl, if you're listening to this, well, we're soulmates if you're listening to this, but since you're not, forget it.
She's like really into Dragon Gate and you just missed out.
Well, she read Britain. So have you guys seen that video on YouTube of it's like from a dating service in the 80s and everyone on it is really creepy and weird and kind of scary? Or have you seen similar type videos?
Right. Yeah.
We know what you're talking about.
Right. So she wrote in her profile something like, if you enjoy anyone in this video, and then she links to the video and says, especially the guy dressed like a Viking, you should definitely contact me. And I wrote as I mean I was lying, but I wrote, for Halloween a couple years ago, I dressed up as the dude who told us that he fast forwards that anyone who smokes cigarettes should fast forward. Meanwhile, this guy's like wearing a fedora. And a cravat and has giant glasses and he's fat as hell and has a bad goatee and hair parted where no one should part their hair. And I said, I dressed like him for Halloween a couple years back. Do I get any points? And her response was really kind of mean. I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul.
That's a Billy Madison.
Oh, that's from Billy Madison.
Yeah.
I had to say it out loud to hear it.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for listening to you speak.
That's the story of my life.
That's so funny because this over this weekend, my friend just like turned to me and said, Billy likes soda. Miss Lippy's car is green.
Why did he do that?
I don't
that
remember.
Movie's not
it was
that good.
Definitely in context of something, but I just remember that for some reason coming up.
I saw Seven Psychopaths this weekend. It was pretty good. No? Nobody's heard of that?
I've heard of it.
I have. I'm infuriated. It takes so long, if ever, for sort of the... I mean, I have to go so far out of my way to see anything remotely indie.
I watched it in Detroit.
Theater.
I saw it when I was in Michigan, but South. I get Detroit does get a decent amount of movies. I mean, I'm surprised they allow you to, cohabitate with
the
human.
They did what?
Nothing. I'm just making fun of the South.
I know you guys probably think of the South as all delicious barbecue and wonderful music, but there are some low points here as well.
Yeah, well, Kevin, don't you live in the South too?
I mean, how South do you consider Washington, D.C.?
I think it's considered the South, though, isn't it?
I think technically, yes. But it's like super northern South Virginia.
Yeah. I like the South. You know what I don't like is the mountain zone out in like Wyoming and Colorado. I don't even know if there are. Well, no, there are definitely mountains in Wyoming because I've gotten into a bad car. This is going nowhere. Jesus, I apologize.
As someone, as you're the person who likes these podcasts to be more brief than anything else, you've just stretched this out for 10 extra minutes for no reason.
I know. For no reason, except that I'm a little bit low.
It was sort of strange. Yeah, I was a little wondering. I thought, and you were just like asking us like random questions like, what's your favorite cupcake?
Yeah, and, what is your favorite cupcake?
Oh boy, that's a loaded question.
Listen, I'm a little bit lonely and I don't have much going on right now. I was seeing a girl at work and that ended, and today I went and got dollar hamburgers, and you can read all about that on burgerweekly.com by the time you hear this.
Is she still crazy?
She's insane, man. Last night she sends me a text message telling me that if I ever want to have casual sex that's okay, and I was like, bomb.
Right, I was gonna say, oh man, you're so unlucky.
No, I said that's awesome. And then I said, what made you, I'm like, that's out of nowhere, what made you say that? She goes, oh, nothing, I was just thinking about getting naked and masturbating in bed. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I had a date, and I'm not gonna, like, I've had sex with this girl many times, I'm not gonna, you know, crap on a first date that has potential for this psychopath. You know, I've been there, I've done that. So, but then today I was like, I work with her, and I was like, do you want to go do what you want to do yesterday at lunch today? And she goes, nope, don't want to lead you on. You're a psychopath. You are an insane person. There's something very wrong with you. I can't even begin to keep up.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least that's over then.
Yeah, it's over. But now I'm forever alone.
You're not. Shut up, Brad.
Justin, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me on this trip through my psyche and through Dragon Gate. Is there anything you guys want to plug? Justin?
Yeah, I got a Twitter. It's Justin J. Houston. I have a YouTube account. It's deep and meaningless, and that's all I have.
What goes on your YouTube account?
It's mainly like just like personal videos, like from vacation and stuff. It's not anything.
It's really innocuous.
Yeah, it's pretty banal stuff.
I feel like you have Justin Houston has the potential to make a pretty like subversive and disturbing yet funny YouTube account.
You would think so. I mean, if I had the time, like, man, that's really what it comes down to.
There's money to be made from like a weekly show where Justin just like films himself like for 10 minutes ranting about his peeves in the wrestling world.
Right. Or no, even less than that. Yeah, I was going to say even more than that, but no, even less than that. Ranting about how like the Dorito bag is too loud or something like that. I could see you going off on anything.
I do that on a regular basis, like in the home. So blame my roommates. They need to do a better job.
Just tell your roommates to turn on a goddamn camera.
Yeah. They usually, at some point, I do it so often. They just get bored of it, probably.
So you need to just set up cameras in your kitchen and living room.
You know, I tried that, and I didn't
like it so much.
I didn't have a good explanation for it. So,
Kevin,
what are you doing stuff?
Oh. Justin, yeah, now, well, now you can say I've lost my patience for it. But Justin, now you can say, well, Brad and Kevin told me to.
Right, exactly. Now I definitely.
And they're gonna say who the fuck are Brad and Kevin?
I'll say they'll be over Thursday.
Never. So, Kevin, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, I guess my Twitter is kford13. Follow me there. I really want Justin to do some damn photo captions on my Chikara Tumblr already.
Shit!
You'll never do it. You'll never remember. But that's at chikaraspecial.tumblr.com. And then, of course, there's chikaraspecial.com for all my Chikara reviews. And you can also read my review of the new Ring of Honor Delirious DVD, where I call Ashima Move by the right name that Brad did not 5 years ago.
Oh, low blow.
As I said, 2012 Brad would slap the shit out of 2007 Brad for calling the Crossfire a package pile driver.
I thought we were going to keep that between you and
me. No, sir. I had to bring it back to Dragon Gate somehow.
Oh, my God. What a dick. What a dick.
It's funny to think about, because like what I'll do is if I know you or Jake or Ryan or somebody like that has reviewed something that I've watched, once I'm done with my review and slapped a star rating on, I'll go back and read to compare thoughts and stuff. And so I go back to read your Final Battle 06 review of that great match, and I see Shima pinned Delirious with the package pile driver, and I was like, what? Bizarre. Bizarre.
Okay. Well, now in my attempt to get this podcast under an hour, which is rapidly approaching, you can follow me at GaroonGate on Twitter or Burger Weekly on Twitter and at OpenTheGaroonGate.com and at BurgerWeekly.com. Those are both very great things to read. Thank you, Justin. Looking forward to your YouTube channel. Thank you, Kevin, even though you're a jerk. I'm Brad Garoon. Thanks for sitting at the Cool Kids table.